Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota Public Broadcasting explores the future of faith in South Dakota as part of an ongoing conversation here on In the Moment and on other television and digital channels as well. We've talked about people leaving the Christian church and people finding various faiths for the first time. We've talked with non-believers and people who have spent a lifetime following a journey of faith, sometimes to unexpected places. Dr. Shafiq Rahman is a professor of pharmacology in the SDSU Department of Pharmaceutical Sciences, and he's joining us today from the Janine Basinger Studio at SDSU to talk about the future of faith in South Dakota from one U.S. Muslim's point of view. Dr. Rahman, thank you for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I want to start going way back into sort of childhood, and tell me a little bit about some of your earliest interactions as a child with faith or religion?
It's a great question. So I was born in Bangladesh. Then I grew up there and I studied basically at the university and in the pharmaceutical science area. After finishing my undergrad, then I moved to the United States, basically. First Canada, then the U.S. for my graduate education. And then completed my PhD and fellowship. So basically, I was born in a Muslim family. My parents and previous generations are all Muslims. And Bangladesh is a Muslim-majority country. So just I was practicing Islam and the way the other people practice. So that's basically. And then came to Canada, and I found also my religion. I practiced my religion very nicely the way I used to practice in my home country. And then when I came to the U.S., I came here in 1998. And then since then, I think I have been practicing my religion the way I used to practice in my home country. I did not see any difficulties or any issues. Certainly, I was married. I had my wife and my two daughters, and they grew up basically here, first in Kentucky, Indianapolis, then in Brookings, and I've been living in Brookings for 14 years, and they went to school here in Brookings High School, and now they are in college and other professional school. And so basically I have been living in this community for 14 years. I have not found any issues, and we have been living in peace and practicing my religion the way I should. I think that's all I can say.
Let's talk about that, because when I think back to some of my earliest experiences with faith in my family, there was a disconnect. You know, you went on Sunday to a place. We lived in a rural community, so we had to drive to church, and then you got lunch afterwards, and then you came home, and the rest of the week. Not to say that my family, you know, was not Christian or, you know, not Christian enough, but there was nothing really in my community. So I kind of grew up with this notion of it belongs in this one day, in this one location, and had to work on how to integrate that into the rest of my life. And so what I'm wondering, when you talk about, practicing your faith, do you have a different story? Where is it compartmentalized for you? Was it as a child? Or did it kind of flow into all aspects of your life?
Yeah, it's a great question. Basically, it's both. So sometimes I had to compartmentalize depending on the context and situation, or sometimes just the way I used to practice my religion. But we have to keep in mind that I was a graduate student, then I was a postdoctoral fellow, then I became faculty. So I just basically came to the United States just for my professional growth and professional development. Certainly, when I had my family, I got married, and then I had two daughters, and so my family extended and changed. And so the way I used to practice as a single person versus now I married, I'm husband and father. So things, context is changed. But regardless of the context, my practice of religion never changed. And another point I would like to add here, that when I was born, I was in Bangladesh. My majority people represent Islam. Whereas here in the U.S., I'm representing minority.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. So we do not have that many Muslims around. Like in Brookings, we have few faculty members and many graduate students and undergrads. And in Sioux Falls, we have better Muslim, community, a lot of physicians. They work in Sanford and Abera hospitals, and some other folks work in Vermilion. They're attached with USD. So it's a bigger community. So we have to socialize with those folks as well. So it's a little different than growing up in Bangladesh versus the U.S. In terms of the demographic context. But for religious context, I think there's no difference. We had mosque, and we socialize at family level, social level, and we have been practicing faith the way it should be.
When somebody asks you about your faith or asks you to talk about your faith, whether that person is Muslim or whether that person is not Muslim, maybe they come from a Christian background or a Jewish background or some non-believing background. But my question is, when somebody asks you about your faith, what are your hopes for that conversation? How do you enter into those conversations, hopefully? And what can happen when we ask each other about faith, whether we share a faith tradition or not?
That's a great question again. So basically, when somebody asks, if somebody is asking that question from Christian faith or Jewish faith, certainly we have a lot of things in common. Islam is another Abrahamic traditions. And so we have a lot of similarities, a lot of commonalities with Christian faith as well as Jewish faith. We share a similar tradition, with different prophets and messengers. And we consider them people of the book, because they also got revelation through prophets and messengers. And we respect Jesus. We respect Mary, the mother of Jesus. We believe in miraculous birth of Jesus. And we believe in all other prophets, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. So we have a lot of commonality. So it depends on who asks that question. If it is my fellow brother in Christianity or fellow brother in Judaism, so we have a lot of things in common. So I expect they can understand me better because we have shared history, shared spiritual upbringing, and shared other aspects in our religious life. So certainly that is our plus. But if somebody is asking that question from other faith, like Eastern tradition, like Hinduism, Buddhism, and other faiths, certainly they have different situation. But since Bangladesh is an Asian country, so Buddhism and Hinduism actually originated from India. So we have some other social and cultural similarity. So in that way, we can make good dialogue and conversation, regardless of the questionnaire or the person who is asking that question.
Yeah,
I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, you did. And now I want to just turn it a little bit and say, do you have concerns? So, when people come and ask you about your faith, do you have fears about where that conversation could go, or hesitations about someone's curiosity about faith?
Personally, I do not have any curiosity. I am very proud of my faith and tradition. As I said, I've been living in the U.S. about now 20-plus years. And I have a lot of friends, and I am heavily involved with the community. I am part of Interfaith Dialogue and here in Brookings. I am part of Interfaith Dialogue even in Sioux Falls. And I am involved with different civic groups and other organizations who are basically involved with different community activities. So I have a lot of friends and neighbors. So it's easy for me to have conversation, to express my views about my religion and faith. So I have not seen any problem. Besides that, DSU is a university campus, so certainly here people are highly educated, they're very knowledgeable, and they have open mind. So when we have dialogue and this kind of discussions, it's pretty easy to have good conversation. And I believe they respect, me and I, as well as I respect them as well, whatever their faith and traditions.
Yeah. Let's talk about being parents. When you became a parent, did you have hopes or expectations about the faith journey of your children?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Certainly, I was, concerned how we can raise them. So I think by the grace of Almighty God, everything went well. I have two good daughters. We raised them very well. They're good human being first. And they are Muslim, they are good citizen, and they are contributing as much they can in their capacity to the society, to the community. So, no, I didn't have. And also, since I lived in Lexington, Kentucky, before I moved to Brookings, It's a bigger city, about 300,000 people. And before that, I was in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's about 1 million people. It's a bigger community. So they got used to. And although Brookings is a small community, but, they adapted with this reality. So everything went well. So I did not have that problem as time went by.
Yeah. In South Dakota, from some of these conversations we're having, there are people from the Christian community who are concerned about their children leaving the church behind, about the number of Christian people who are walking away from the Christian church. Do you have a sense of, in the Muslim community, if somebody leaves their faith behind, how do you approach that? Do you bring a patience to that conversation? It hasn't happened with your children, but if you knew somebody that was struggling with that, with children who said, these traditions are not my traditions. I need to do something else for my life. How do you deal with that sort of anxiety, or how do you approach that with patience and compassion?
Absolutely. I think although it is not my children's are okay, we didn't have to deal with this kind of issue, but I heard that from other members in the community and other places here in the U.S. Certainly this is a concern and anxiety. It's a great observation, great question. So we have to deal with compassion and love and understanding, but it's happening. Certainly there is some fear, as you know, Islamophobia, I think, for different world regions and other factors. So given all these, some people have that kind of, they're hiding their faith or they want to leave their faith, I think. So some parents have to deal with that. And to the best of my knowledge, I know a few parents, they're dealing with compassion, love, education, and understanding. So that's the approach I think one should take.
Yeah. The Pew Research Center for Religious Studies did a survey from 2017. This is the third time they've surveyed U.S. Muslims, and they asked if there was a lot of discrimination against Muslims in the U.S., and 75% said yes, 23% said no, 2% said they don't know. This hasn't been a huge part of your experience in all these cities and countries that you've lived in, has it?
My experience is very positive. As I said, I was attached to the university most of the time as a graduate student, as a fellow, and as a faculty. So I was at the university campus. So university campus is more open, more welcoming, more respectful. They understand the international people and people of color, people of other faith and tradition, culture. So therefore, it's pretty easy for me. So I did not experience those negative experiences, but some people did. Definitely, it was there in other communities, other places, in other contexts. So the fear is right, but personally, I did not experience that.
Yeah. What do you think, and this is a broad question for one person to have to answer, so I don't expect you to answer for all Muslims or for the entire future, but as we ask these questions about the future of faith in South Dakota, how do you see the future of Islam in South Dakota? Is it going to increase and grow and become more widespread in the state? What are you seeing in the time that you have been here?
It's a great question. Absolutely. I think future of Islam in general in the U.S. looks very promising. Increasingly diverse, increasingly inclusive, increasingly American, as it embraces uniquely American values and traditions, while bringing to the American culture its own deeply rooted spiritual and theological richness. So I see that this is, I'm talking the national level. In South Dakota, in terms of population, very small, but we have only Muslim community, small community here in Brookings, in Supal's little bigger community, and some other places like Rapid City here. So I believe with the same national context or national reflection, Muslim population will grow, international students will come, professional will come. As I said, in Supal's, there are many doctors, clinicians. They work in two hospitals. They're very welcomed by the community, by the management in the hospitals and other places. So certainly they will grow with American values and tradition, and it will be diverse, certainly. And that's the thing I am I'm very hopeful, because the message of peaceful Islam is very universal. And we believe that our Creator, the God, the Almighty, sets the standards through revelation delivered to human beings and to Muslims. It was left to individuals like us to seek the path of unity, dignity, universality, justice, and peace, not the path to argue with each who is better than the other or who would qualify for the grace of God and who would not. So therefore, I believe there is a positive and promising future ahead of our time.
I think that's it's something we all need more of, peace and understanding and that compassion of which you speak. Thank you so much. And I think that speaks really directly to what you just said about this, you know, when the spiritual and theological richness, I think you said, that Islam has to offer all of us as we think deeply about these things. Dr. Shafiq Rahman, thank you so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time.
And thank you very much for the opportunity. And please convey my thanks to your listeners.
Thank you. We will have more Future of Faith conversations on this program going forward. If you want to be part of that dialogue, send me an email inthemoment@sdpb.org. And that was Dr. Shafiq Rahman. He was joining us from the Janine Basinger Studio at South Dakota State University. He's a professor of pharmacology in the SDSU Department of Pharmaceutical Sciences. And of course, he was joining us today, not in that role, but just as a man of faith willing to talk about that. If you're willing to talk about yours, let us know.